Six String Hayride Podcast, a journey through the world of classic country music with your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley. We will be covering all of the great topics in country music, from mama to prison, to dancing, to drinking, to guitar picking, to all the crazy deal with the devil, honky-tonking stuff you do on Saturday night, and how you try to get it past your Lord on Sunday morning. So climb aboard the cart and let's go. Over the first part of the winter months, Chris and I have been talking about everything from our favorite Westerns to gospel music to Christmas songs, a little bit of the year in review for 2024. Let's get back to why we're really here, why Chris and I decided to do this in the first place. Classic country, rockabilly, and guitar players. All kinds of guitar players. And in the past, we've talked about Grady Martin from the classic Marty Robbins records. We've talked about Mr. Guitar himself, Chet Atkins. Now it's time to just get right into it, get into the swing of guitar players from the classic era. We're going to go to 706 Union Avenue in beautiful Memphis, Tennessee. And we are going to take a look at the life and the guitar picking of the one and only Winfield Scott Moore III. Scotty Moore, king of the guitar players at Sun Records. Winfield Scott Moore III is born December 27th of 1931 in beautiful Gadsden, Tennessee. He leaves this earth in June of 2016 at the age of 84. Scotty Moore is the youngest of four boys by 14 years. So there's a big gap between his brothers and himself. This gives Scotty the childhood time to learn how to play guitar. He starts learning guitar when he's 8 years old, and he's underage when he enlists, but in 1948, he joins the U.S. Navy, and he does some time in Korea. He's in the service until 1952. Scotty Moore's background is pretty much country music and jazz music, and this is by way of, again, Mr. Guitar himself, the great Chet Atkins. I think most of the people guitar-wise from this mid-1950s era, Scotty Moore, Carl Perkins, eventually you get James Burton and Steve Cropper and guys like that, and they really are all just kind of sons of the Ted Atkins influence and style. And Scotty Moore does this amazing thing where he takes the thumb-picking and the finger picking for the higher notes for the melody, and he takes what Chet is doing and he puts a lot more drive and a lot more beat. Scotty Moore is really kind of the bridge that takes the Chet Atkins approach into the world of rockabilly. And this is going to wind up being an influence on Carl Perkins. It's going to be a huge influence on a young Eddie Cochran, who, pretty much every time you see Cochran, he's got one of those big old Chet Atkins Gretsch guitars. Well, you can thank Scotty Moore for bringing that Chet Atkins style and influence into the rockabilly world. So thank you, Scotty. Scotty Moore really makes his legend and his name as the original guitar player and band leader for Elvis Presley in the early Sun Records era. If you hear Mystery Train, That's All Right Mama, Baby Let's Play House, Jailhouse Rock, Scotty Moore is the man behind that music. There is no doubt that Elvis Presley is one of the most, charismatic, incredibly powerful personality, great looks, great dancing, great style. And certainly Elvis is one of those rare voices where, in his healthy years, the power and the range of Elvis's voice, is just really beyond compare. He's in that rare territory. To my ears, I can only really think of maybe Aretha Franklin and Roy Orbison, where you basically have a rock and roll or a soul singer who opens their mouth, and it's pretty much an opera that's coming out.
Oh, my love, my darling, I've hungered for your touch, a long, lonely time. Time goes by so slowly, and time can do so much. Are you still mine?
Without music to create a beat, to create a rhythm, without there being a musical context for that singer to exist in, it's not going to be the same, not even close. And in the world of Elvis Presley, that man is Scotty Moore. Scotty Moore, what Scotty Moore created goes on to be the trigger. The influence, kind of the epiphany moment for three of the great all-time guitar players ever: Jimmy Page, Jeff Beck.
To stand here in front of Scotty is just more than I ever could believe, and DJ and all that. But you guys, I mean, Jimmy, you'll back me up on this. We used to sit and just, dribble over your playing. Fantastic. Thank you for that.
And Keith Richards.
You gotta realize I'm from England, right? Lived just outside of London, and the only radio station that played at night, because the BBC shut down real early, but there was a station out of Luxembourg which is run as an English station, right? And they would go later. But it was terrible reception, you know, I mean, it would be, you'd be carrying the radio all around your fucking room, you know, and they'd try and then it would be going in and out. And when there was Heartbreak Hotel, that's how I met Scotty Moore. As simple as that. And I'm running, and he keeps fading out on me, and I'm running around the room. and basically it was that. Scotty was the one that turned me on to the thing of when I suddenly knew what it is I really wanted to do.
He said, you know, in his youth, when Elvis first came out, all of his friends wanted to be Elvis. Oh, man, that's it. That's the thing. I want to be like Elvis. And Keith Richards would constantly fall back on the idea of, Elvis is cool, but I want to be like Scotty Moore.
Uncle Johnny, hypochondriac. It's a headache, is a heart attack. Honey, bring me down a couple more pills. Call the lawyer up and change my will. Ham sandwich and a glass of tea. Lunch is cheap but never free. Shaking hands and scratching backs. Green stains on your secondhand slacks. Keep on betting, think you're gonna win. You can dress it up and try to pretend. Cause a car and that's a fact. A deuce and a quarter ain't a Cadillac.
To this day, if it comes up in an interview with Keith Richards, he says, I've never figured out how to play that. I come close, you know, I can kind of do it, but I can't do it exactly the way that Scotty did it. And when Scotty Moore was still alive, the two men were good friends and worked together a few times. Every time that Keith and Scotty would run into each other, Scotty would just look at Keith and go, so have you figured out how to play that one yet? And again, to this day, you know, if you inspire Keith Richards to be a guitar player and then you create something that for all these years, he has not learned how to play it right. Damn, you are a true master. You influence Keith Richards. You influence Jimmy Page. You create a lick on two different records that they can't duplicate. After all this time, yeah, that's just flat out incredible magic on the guitar. If this is the legacy that you leave, you know, you are the musical heart and soul and pioneer behind the early Elvis records. Jimmy Page, Keith Richards, and Jeff Beck all spend a good part of their childhood and their teenage years wanting to be like you. Yes, you are a true absolute master. I cannot say enough about Scotty Moore and his guitar playing. I did have the chance to see him play later in his career and to do the little meet and greet thing. This was in February of 2002 at a little bar in Chicago called Shuba's, kind of in the neighborhood where I grew up. But Scotty was doing a tour with Lee Rocker from the original Stray Cats lineup. And it was, you know, just a straight 90-minute rockabilly show. Scotty sat at a little table afterwards. You could buy his CDs. He would sign the CDs for you. You know, I got to say hello, thank you, shake his hand, and buy some CDs. I did do an incredibly foolish thing where I washed my hands at some point after I got home that night. Probably should have let that one just stay. But yeah, Scotty Moore, the legend. And like I said, I could talk about this for days. So let's see what Chris has to say.
My ears are happy. It's Scotty Moore. You make a lot of interesting points. And one that I want to circle back to is Elvis and his voice. You're absolutely correct. Elvis has one of the great operatic voices that exists in the world of music. There are a couple of others that I personally would add to your list, specifically Pat Benatar and Freddie Mercury. But either way, incredibly solid list. But I do think that you really have to be careful to separate the voice from the music too much in either direction. You know, I think it's fair to say that if not for Elvis, the odds are a lot greater that we would not have heard of Scotty Moore. But I think it's also fair to say that without Scotty Moore, I mean, I do believe that Elvis would still be the king. I just don't know if he would be the king of rock and roll or the king of the North Memphis Super 8. You know, the man had a voice, but the music is what propelled it. You don't get to the opening lines of "That's All Right, Mama" if you don't have Scotty and Bill Black absolutely nailing that intro. You know, that's what's so captivating. The voice catches you because the music already got you paying attention.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right, Mama. She done told me, Papa done told me too. Son, that gal you foolin' with, she ain't no good to you. But that's all right, that's all right. That's all right, Mama, anyway do.
So I don't think it can be oversold. You know, yes, Elvis goes on to become the superstar and Scotty and co just kind of become Elvis's first band from way back when in terms of the public at large. You know, the music buying public being what the music buying public is, it's also easy to see how a guy like Scotty Moore, talented though he may be, kind of falls out of the spotlight once his time with Elvis comes to an end. But it's just as important to take note of the fact that the musicians that continue to hold the public interest, and you named a bunch of them, Keith Richards, Jeff Beck, Jimmy Page, you know, these guys continued to pay homage to Scotty anytime they get the chance to in an interview. So it's a fair take that Elvis is Elvis no matter what, but Elvis becomes Elvis the way he does because of Scotty.
Would you believe that we're with Scotty? Never in a million years. Would you believe that we're with Scotty Moore? It sure sounds good to me. Catch him in his prime. Don't lay that guitar down. And this is why I play it, Scotty. Jeff Beck.
sadly, there are many early Elvis staples, such as Love Me Tender, where he does not play due to the prevailing attitude by studios at the time. 20th Century Fox refused to allow Elvis's band to record the soundtrack since they claimed they couldn't play country music properly. Now, keeping in mind, this is the band that was ruling the charts at the time, but, you know, 20th Century Fox has deemed that they can't play country music properly, so whatever. They have a couple of good years together, but early in 1957, while filming Loving You in Hollywood, tensions escalated to the point where Scotty and bass player Bill Black felt that they were being willfully shut out from Elvis's life. Now, all of this will be proven true in hindsight, but they're picking this up, you know, around this point in time. At this point, Elvis is a millionaire, and the two backing musicians are still being asked to live on $200 per week. So you can see why tension would build as a result of that. Now, also in 1957, they had been promised that once they were done recording the session work for the Christmas album, that they would be given time to jam with Elvis on whatever all of them wanted to play. And when this failed to come to fruition, the duo, being frustrated to the breaking point by this time, they actually write a resignation letter that same night.
Well, I'd been playing all along with him on doing sessions, but see, when he went into the movies, he didn't do any personal appearances when he started doing that. So he had that long stretch of those ridiculous movies.
Elvis just felt that it didn't feel or sound right, and he hires back Scotty and Bill Black on a per diem basis. Now, in addition to his well-known work with Elvis, Scotty has an impressive career all on his own.
Here is Ronnie McDowell, some longtime friends of and performers with the late king of rock and roll, Elvis. Here are the Jordanaires, DJ Fontana and Scotty Moore.
He's a rock and roll, he's a guitar man with a great big soul. He lays down a feeling like a ton of coal. He goes by the name of King Griot. You know he's gone, 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 jumping like catfish on a pole. You know he's gone, 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 and taking King Griot. He sings a song about a crowded hole. He sings a song about a crowded hole. He sings a song about a pork and greens. He sings some blues about a New Orleans. You know he's gone, 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 jumping like catfish on the pole. You know he's gone, 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 and he's taking King Rio. Oh, play that thing, Scotty. Something evil, then he plays something sweet. No matter how he plays, you gotta get up on your feet. And when he gets a rockin' fever, baby, heaven sings. He don't stop playing till his guitar breaks. You know he's gone, 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 jumping like catfish on a pole. You know he's gone, 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 and taking King Rio. You know he's gone, 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 and taking King Rio. You know he's gone.
Scotty, wow. Oh man, talk about deja vu. Listen, you're obviously going to be very hard to convince anybody that all the rumors aren't true. Because, I mean, Elvis is very much alive here tonight. Ronnie, you... Scotty, what's it like to hear a guy doing Elvis so beautifully? I mean, so authentically.
Well, that's the great thing about it. He does it authentically.
And you're going to be doing it on the road, too, aren't you, Ronnie?
Well, you know, we did our first show in Owensboro, Kentucky at the Executive Inn. I just had an idea to put these young folks on the, and I always call them young folks, and this young man and DJ on the show with us, and it turned out so well that now we're doing just shows all year. And what we do, I come out and do my show, and then they come out with us, and we do some Elvis songs, and we have fun with it. And I asked him, I want to tell you this, if he ever did any shows with you, and he said, we didn't do no shows with him. He was our competitor.
That's right. Yeah, I was Avis to your Hertz is what I was. And you was Hertzing me. I'm just glad I had 6 months head start. But you were Elvis's first manager, weren't you?
Correct, right.
And I remember seeing that ABC series and then a colonel. I don't know what he was colonel of.
I don't either.
Let me find out. Came along. And things began to change. But listen, you guys do it so great, and it's got to be a great feeling for you.
It is.
You know, this is the first time that he has played. I want to tell you folks this, and all you folks out there, this is the first time that he has played on television since the 68 comeback special. And he didn't want to do it because TV makes him nervous, and I commend him because he's still playing just as good.
Oh, man.
As he did.
Oh.
Yeah, he looks the same.
I've read a lot about the guitar players who revere you, man. I mean, Eric Clapton, all these guitar players, they were entranced by what you did, and you are an innovator. You are the original thing, you and DJ back there on the drums. And we're going to keep the Elvis spirit going tonight because here are Ronnie McDowell, the Jordanaires, my buddies. We're going to talk in a while. DJ Fontana and Scotty Moore with one of the King's biggest hits. He had so many, Mystery Train. To visit Opryland.
In addition to his two solo albums, The Guitar That Changed the World from 1964 and All the King's Men from 1997, engineers some sessions for Ernest Tubb. He plays guitar with Ron Wood on his Not for Beginners album.
One night during the Steel Wheels tour, Keith and I spent a whole night in my hotel room with Scotty, swapping licks. But Keith wouldn't lend me my guitar, which he was playing. And I had two guitars. Scotty had one and Keith had the other. And I'm saying, let me play. Keith's going, go away, get your own guitar. I'm saying, it is my guitar. And he was saying, get out of my room. I said, it's not your room, it's my room, you know. And I learned a lot by watching that night.
Again, we're talking about a guy who, although he makes his way as a result of his association with Elvis, and of course he becomes famous due to his work, or well known due to his work with Elvis. Even without that, you know, the man is very, very accomplished. Sure, that's what opened these doors for him, but man, once the door was open, his foot went right in. So in one interview, Scotty is asked about, you know, how did he meet Sam Phillips? Because he was already working with Sam prior to Elvis coming along.
And if somehow you were able to sing a song now, bringing these boys together who you haven't even met, and make something so personal, so new, that the whole world takes notice, and that your life is never the same again. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right.
He started just singing different things that he knew. On mic, of course, he was listening. Sam was in the control room listening to him. Bill would think of things and ask him if you know so-and-so, and every once in a while Sam would stick his head out and say, well, hey, you know, sing so-and-so, do you know it? And he'd seem like he knew every song in the world. It didn't matter. And around 9:30, 10 o'clock that night, it was still fairly early, and Bill and I both had to go to work the next day, and we was just about ready to hang everything up and go home. When Elvis, he stood up and, to me, looking back on it, was just like it was nervous energy that he stood up and started just banging on the guitar and singing "That's All Right, Mama." And the door to the control room was open. Sam stuck his head out again and said, "What are you guys doing?" I said, "Just goofing around." He said, well, let me hear some more of that. Just get back on mic. So that sounded pretty good. And there we go. That was it.
That's all right. That's all right, Mama, anyway, do. Well, Mama, she done told me. Papa done told me, too. Son, that gal you fooling with, she ain't no good for you. But that's all right. That's all right. That's all right, Mama, anyway, do.
The guy over here on my left is the guy that played guitar for me when I first started out in 1912. 19, when did I start out, man? 56. Sure has.
Oh, 1956.
Would you sing me that song about tornado?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh,
I got to hear that.
First time in 12 years he said anything on stage, man.
Off stage, too.
12 years, man, he played guitar for me and never said anything. The other night he leaned over and said, he was dead serious. He said, would you sing that Lordy Miss Claudia one time, man? First time. 12 years. I said, well, we'll kill him.
Where is Brent?
I told him, no, forget it.
And I'll close my thoughts on Scotty with a final question from one of the interviews that I read. Scotty was asked, how would you like to be remembered? Oh, I don't know. I might be an innovator, but I really don't consider myself to be a fantastic musician. I just did my own thing my own way, and it just happened to be a little different to anybody else.
Idea of Scotty and Elvis as a pair is something that really creates a big part of the rock and roll world that comes after the mid-1950s. You get this idea of a singer and a guitar player that you really have to kind of take, you know, one with the other. And let's see if I can going to get through this in mostly chronological order here. Scotty and Elvis create this thing where it's the two-headed monster. You know, it's the guitar player and the singer. And as we get into the 1960s, you get Mick Jagger and Keith Richards. A little bit later in the 60s, you get Otis Redding and Steve Cropper. And then you get Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart. And then you get Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. As we get into the 70s, you get from Queen, Freddie Mercury and Brian May. And then with Heart, we get Ann and Nancy Wilson. With the early David Bowie period in the 70s, you get Mick Ronson on guitar and David Bowie on, well, just being freaking David Bowie. When we get into the later 70s and more of the poppy rock sort of thing, you get a really good frontman in Robin Zander from Cheap Trick, but he absolutely has to go with Rick Nielsen, who's kind of the face of that band, you know, musically. And then we get Pat Benatar with Neil Giraldo. You get Bono and The Edge from U2. So Scotty and Elvis absolutely create this personality dynamic in rock and roll, where you have a singer and a guitar player, and you have to take them as a pair.
Well, I heard the news, life's good to rockin' tonight. Well, I heard the news, life's good to rockin' tonight. I'm gonna hold my baby as tight as I can. Tonight she'll know I'm a mighty, mighty man. I heard the news, life's good to rockin' tonight. I say, oh, meet me in a hurry behind the barn. Don't you be afraid that I'll do you no harm. I want you to bring along my rocking shoes, cause tonight I'm going to rock away all the blues. I heard the news, there's good to rockin' tonight.
We are at the food and drink recipe part of the show, so I'm going to turn this one over to Chris. We're going to go with Elvis Presley's special barbecue sauce. If you really, really must fit yourself into that sequined Aztec God jumpsuit, maybe go a little easy on the sauce. But here's Chris with the Elvis Presley barbecue sauce.
So this is one that I actually have some experience with. When I visited Graceland, I bought some Elvis coffee mug at the gift shop, and on that mug is actually this recipe that I'm going to read to you now. I found it online on food.com for this particular reading, but I've actually made this before. I've made it on a few occasions, and I have to say, it's not what you think of in terms of a modern day, like super sweet barbecue sauce, but you can sweeten the taste if you must. But I got to tell you, it was great for ribs. Loved it. So here's what you're going to need. You'll need 4 12-ounce cans of tomato sauce. For those that don't hate math, you figure out how to get 48 ounces of tomato sauce. Doesn't matter. 1 tablespoon of soy sauce. 1 tablespoon of dried mustard powder. 1 tablespoon of chili powder. 4 ounces of vinegar, which is a half a cup. 2 sliced lemons. 1 tablespoon of brown sugar. 2 tablespoons of honey. 1 tablespoon of cayenne pepper. And 1 tablespoon of pickling spices. The directions for this one are really simple. Just mix all of the ingredients together and cook on a low heat for 30 minutes, then pour into a sterilized jar or bottle and keep in the fridge. And again, I've used this for boneless pork spare ribs. I used it for beef ribs. I've used it for chicken. I've used it for a lot of things, and I really enjoy it. So have at it, folks.
To wash down all that yummy barbecue with the Elvis Presley special sauce, we're just going to recommend a very straight, simple favorite here at the Hayride. Get yourself some sweet iced tea, get a proper pint glass, put in a little bit of ice, pour in about 10 to 12 ounces of the sweet tea, and then get a shot glass and measure out 2 shots of Four Roses single barrel bourbon. Put that in with your sweet iced tea, stir it up a little bit. You're probably going to have an extra slice of lemon from making the barbecue sauce. Throw that lemon in the glass, and here's to your health.
Never be cruel, never be cowardly. Hate is always foolish. Love is always wise. Always try to be nice, but never fail to be kind.
I can see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down.
Hello!
I'd like to remind you to email us at sixstringhayride@yahoo.com. Six is spelled out. You can also search us on Facebook as Six String Hayride. Or what we'd really appreciate you doing is finding us on Patreon under Six String Hayride as well.
Well, folks, thanks again for joining your hosts, Chris Wainscott and Jim O'Malley, on the Six String Hayride Classic Country Podcast. We are here for all of your classic country, rockabilly, early rock and roll, little gospel, little blues, a lot of excellent country music themed recipes. And basically, we are here to keep your musical circle rockin', boppin', and very much unbroken. So thank you for sticking with us. We will see you down the road real soon. And again, whether it's in your home, in your community, wherever it is you do your thing, keep your circle unbroken. Stay well, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
They're not gonna catch us. We're on a mission from God.
Can the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a bitter home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
One of these days, and it won't be long, I'll rejoin them in a song. I'm gonna join the family circle at the throne. No, the circle won't be broken by and by, Lord, by and by.
Remember, the Force will be with you always.